I'm excited about this series. It's kind of been mulling in my heart for quite a while. I just never had the release to do it, and this is the release. This is the time that I know that God's wanted me to do it. And so I'm excited about the talk, because what this talk does of the series is it's going to make small adjustments in our lives to allow us to be the church that God calls us to be and to be the people that God has called us to be. Every single one of us. I mean, this is a great opportunity for us to really understand why we do the things that we do. These aren't big adjustments. These are small tweaks in our lives. And I don't know if you've ever had back problems, but one of the things you understand, if you have back problems, you go to a chiropractor to make small adjustments so that you can experience health. And it's the same way in our lives, that God wants to make small adjustments in our lives so that we can experience health as individuals, but also as a church. I'm going to address some things today, and if I happen to address something that you have done, if I say something that describes or defines your actions, I don't want you to be offended, okay? I don't want you to think I'm pinpointing you, because I'm not. If you have done something that I'm talking about, I want you to understand one thing, and that is all of us have. Okay, so this is not about an individual, this is not about anybody, it's about us as a church. So I want to look at some actions in our lives, okay, first of all, and how we act as a church. Our actions are generally defined by three things, okay? One of those things is the standard that we choose to live by. Every single one of us, as individuals as well as a church, your actions are defined by the standard that you choose to live by. And that is our code of behavior, our moral compass, our code of ethics that you live by, and we all have them, hopefully. If you don't, you need to. But all of us have these things, and some people use their standard to come from the culture around them. In other words, whatever the culture says is good, bad, right, or wrong, then that's what I'm going to say is good, bad, right, or wrong. Some people say that our friends are provide the standard that we live by. And so, in other words, if my friends say that this is good or bad, then that's what is usually good or bad. Some people use their feelings, and their feelings become this moral compass. And this is where we say things like, well, if it feels good, do it. Or, you know what, I just don't feel like doing that. And that becomes our feelings kind of govern our behavior, and we use that as a moral compass in our lives. And for a lot of people, their standard is not something that they choose to follow very closely, a target that they hypothetically shoot for. Okay? It's not something that they're intent upon. And then there's some people that use their standard as like guardrails. Like if you're driving in the mountains, it's kind of bumped from one guardrail to another. And it keeps you on course, but it prevents you from going off the cliff and self-destruct. Some people, they just kind of use it. It's not like they try to stay in the lane. They just allow the guardrails to take them from an extreme right to an extreme left, but they don't get hurt in the process. Then there are other people that are very intentional about their standard, and they choose to follow them more intently. In fact, they don't take the standard lightly. It becomes something that they are very intentional about, because they understand how important the standard is, and it's a consistent standard for their lives. As Christians or Christ followers, the Bible is our standard that we choose to live by. As Christ followers, it's not like that we choose to follow some of the Bible and some we go, that's not for me. No, you either follow the Bible or you don't follow the Bible. But as Christ followers, our example or our standard should be the Bible itself. It's a standard, again, that governs us individually as well as collectively. And in 2 Timothy, it tells us that the Bible has been written to us by God. It says every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, and training us how to live God's way. So here's an important point on your notes if you want to write this down. Your standard defines your actions, because your standard gives you permission to act as you do. I want you to understand that. Your standard, whatever standard you choose, gives you permission to act as you do. Now, the reason why that's important for us is because a lot of times, if we don't feel it, if we're not committed to it, then we will lower our standard because it comes easiest for us. Never lower your standard. Let God's word elevate your standard for living and change your actions, and rather than lower your standard. Our actions are defined by the standard we choose to live by, but also the vision that we choose to live out. Your actions are defined by the vision that you choose to live out. The vision answers a simple question, but it's a very important question, and that is, what do we do? What do you do? We exist to do what? As individuals, as a church, listen, we have a vision for our church, and our vision for the church is to creatively love and lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus. That's not a vision that just kind of governs the building. It governs us as individuals, because we as individuals are the church. In other words, our actions have to be about the vision, if that is in fact the vision of the church, because we are the church. A vision should never be a slogan that we're just able to say. It has to have more substance than that. And you can write this down, but a vision gives you purpose to live out. A lot of people want to have purpose, and we need to have purpose in our lives. But people are always asking, I don't know what my purpose is. I'm really trying to find it. Listen, the vision of the church is our purpose to live out. Every single one of us. And the reason purpose is so important is because purpose establishes a quality to our life, and it establishes a happiness to our life. In other words, we're not just going through the motions. Our motions have meaning. That is huge for us, because I think most people just go through the motions, and their motions don't have meaning, but purpose does. Proverbs says this, where there's no vision, the people are uncontrolled, but he who keeps the law will be happy. Our actions, or your actions, are either going to be about your vision, the vision for your life, or they're going to be about God's vision. You have to decide that. But I also tell you this, that what's the vision for your life is. Your actions will show what the vision of your life is. Why you do, or what you do, is about your vision. So our actions is about having a standard, having the vision. But the next one is this. Our actions are also defined by the values that we choose to live with. The values that you and I choose to live with as individuals and again as a church. Values are beliefs that change our behaviors. They are the why behind the what that we do. They're principles that establish priorities and affect our behaviors. The early church, they had values. And so I'm going to read out of Acts chapter 2. It says that all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And it's establishing what they did. But why did they do that? If you keep reading, it says because the why behind that is they met together in one place and they shared everything that they had. They sold their property and their possessions, and they shared the money with those that are in need. They worshiped together. And they're giving all of these things of why they did what they did. See, here's the thing. Values give us priorities to live with. It's not, if you can please understand, it's not the idea of having a standard. It's not the idea of having a vision. You have to understand why we have a standard. We have to understand why we have to have a vision. And the values are the why behind all that we do. They give you, they establish what your priorities are in your life. Every church has standards and vision and values to live with. It defines their behavior. So when we talk about why we do what we do, here's something we have to understand. If we don't understand why we do what we do, in time we will do something different. If you and I don't understand why we do what we do as individuals or a church, in time you will no longer do what you do. You will do something different because there's no meaning behind it. Something different. It'll call you to do something different than what the standard calls us to do. It will also call us to do something different than our vision calls us to do when we don't understand why. If we also don't understand why we do what we do, in time we will do what is easy. Or another way of saying it is we'll do what comes naturally. Not what God asks of us as a church, not what the Holy Spirit is prompting us to do as the church. We will do what comes easiest, what comes naturally in our lives. So we're here not to do what's easy, but what's important. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at why we do what we do. And again, our vision, creatively love and lead people in a growing relationship, that tells us what we do. Our values tell us why we do this vision. So let me just address some of our values so that you understand. First of all, one of our values is this: we care about people. That is why we creatively love and lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus, because we care about people. People matter to God, and because they matter to God, they matter to us. And how do we know that people matter to God? Because our standard tells us that. The Bible does. And if we live according to the standard, then what we do is we say, hey, the standard says this, and I have to do the vision that comes out of it, so I'm going to creatively love and lead people. But the only way that I'm going to do that is understanding why I do that, and because people matter. They matter to God, and they matter to us. Even to Jesus in Matthew 9, when he was traveling around, it says he saw the crowds and he felt sorry for them because they were hurting and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And you could hear the compassion, but Jesus cared for people. He's constantly going around and healing and taking care of people's needs. We have to understand something, that every single person that walks through those doors, every single person, whether they look like you or not look like you, every person that walks through those doors is someone that Jesus died for. And every week, people come through those doors that are hurting. They're looking for life. They're looking for purpose. They're looking for meaning. And every week, people come through those doors hoping to connect with God. We care about people because God cares about people. Another one of our values is this, that lost people are our passion. Scripture reminds us of that, that Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Scripture says that Jesus would leave the 9. Jesus said that because our standard says that. That's a part of our vision that gets carried out in why we do what we do. And if Jesus would do it, then we must do it as well. We are unapologetic about reaching people who are disconnected from God. We want to do all that we can to help people that are disconnected from God. Because the truth is that all of us have been disconnected from God. I want you to hear this, and I want it to really sink in, if you let it. It's not a feeling, but if lost people are not your passion, you don't have the heart of Christ. And I don't say that as a kick or like to punch you or to knock the wind out of you. I want you to hear that because it's true. Because the truth is it'll also be reflected in your actions. But if lost people are not your passion, you don't have the heart of Christ. And that's what God is always forming in us, is his heart. Another value is this: encountering God changes lives. We know that to be true because we are all byproducts of changed lives that have come from encountering God. Encountering God changes how we feel. It changes our perspective. It changes our confidence. It changes how we live. It changes our heart. It changes our standing with God. Encountering God heals our hang-ups and it frees our addictions. It helps us to find purpose in this life, and it helps us to find a new destiny in the life to come. And as a church, we intentionally create environments where we can personally encounter God. One of those environments is here on Sunday morning. It's what we do. The priority of our life is encountering God. We don't just come here because, hey, you know what? We don't have nothing else to do. We can just come here and hang out, spend some time. Hey, we'll play some music. How's that? You know what? Dave likes to talk. We'll just let Dave talk for a while. That has nothing to do with why we're here. We intentionally create an environment where people can encounter God because it is a value of us, of ours. So there's a dynamic that happens when we gather together to worship God. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in my name as followers, that he is there with us. So meeting together is not a routine, it's not a ritual, it's a privilege that all of us need. And every single person that comes through those doors, whether they have a relationship with Jesus or not, every relationship, every person that comes through those doors needs a relationship. They need an encounter with God. And that's why we provide this. So when we meet together, this is an opportunity that we have. Meeting together is an opportunity to feel loved by others. We all need it. We come together to feel loved by others. People that are lost and hurting, they don't want to come to church because oftentimes they are afraid of being judged, not by God, but by people in the church. That's a stigma that we can't change with our words, but only with our actions. And Jesus says, this is how you change it. This is how everyone will know that you're my disciples. They will recognize you as my disciples because they see your love that you have for one another. We want people to see how we love one another because that's a byproduct of encountering God. It's a byproduct of our vision. It's a byproduct of the standard that we all live by. But we don't want them just to see how we love each other. We want them to experience that love from us as well, every single person. So we always are encouraging everyone, hey, before you leave, meet somebody that you don't know. Why? So that people will feel loved. We provide people an opportunity in every gathering to walk around and shake hands. Why? Because we're wasting time? No, because we want people to feel loved. It's intentional. And I feel like we as a church do that well. We do that really well, just to give you guys props. Now, we don't do everything well, as I'm going to get into, so just take what we do well for right now, right? We also, when we meet together, it's an opportunity not just to feel loved by others, but it's an opportunity to experience God for ourselves. That's why we have this time together. It's our primary reason why we exist, to encounter God ourselves and to help people encounter God as well. Because here's what we understand, and that is encountering God changes lives. We really do take this seriously. I want you to understand something. This is why we turn the lights down during the service. If you ever notice that the lights are up and the lights are down, people go, oh, I don't know why they do that. I can't see. It bugs me. Walk in. I can't know where I'm going. And that. Listen, when we turn the lights down, it is intentional. Because here's my, I want you to write this down. If you don't write anything else down in your notes, I want you to write this down because you're going to remember this. You're going to hear it again and again and again. I feel like God gave me this week, and I know it's going to happen again. I know I'm going to use, when the lights are turned down, our focus is up. That's why we turn the lights down. When the lights are turned down, our focus is upward, not outward. We're not worrying about what other people are doing. We're not worrying about what other people are saying. We're not worried about people, because when the lights are down, we're saying, hey, this is the time to focus up. So we need to remember that we are doing all that we can to remove the obstacles and distractions that keep us and other people from experiencing God. Because I'm telling you, a lot of people, they come in here and they're afraid to worship. Because what they do is they think that everybody's watching them. Or they think that everybody's listening to them. They go, I don't have a good voice, and I don't know, I feel kind of awkward raising my hands. I don't want to do that. I'll just stand here and close my eyes quietly. And people do that because they feel awkward. We lower the lights so that people are not the focus. They have a greater sense of ambiguity, as it were. They don't become the focal point. I want to go back to a statement that I made earlier, that if we don't know why we do what we do, then in time we're going to do something different. I want to look at a few things that we do different. A few things that we do different that are not good, as it were. A few things that we do that prevent us from being the church that God calls us to be. A few things that we do that prevent us from living the standard, living the vision, and living the values. You understand? So I want you to hear me, and I want you to understand something. Somebody told me that after the first gathering to change my wording, because I told them, I don't want you to take this personally. They said, take it personally, just don't be offended. And here's why, because it's not about you. If I say something that describes something that you've done, just understand this, it's something that all of us have done. But that doesn't mean that it's okay. It means that it's a behavior that needs to change if we're gonna be the church that God wants us to be. So let me jump into this, okay? Just so you understand, this will be really quick. It's like a shot. It's like, it hurts for a little bit and then it's gone, okay? First thing we do that we shouldn't do anymore, and that's this, we come late to church. That does not communicate the standard that we choose to live by. It does not communicate the values that we choose to live with. It does not communicate our vision. That means I've got other things that are more important than being here. That tells me when somebody comes late, it's that what they're saying is, I've got more important things to do than encountering God. Now, that may be true for you, but that is not true for us. That might be true. That might be your value system. That might play according to your standard. But understand something. That is not the standard that the Bible gives. So as a church, that's not a behavior that we can say, hey, it's okay. We understand things happen. And I'm not dogging that. I'm talking about every single week. I'm talking about twice a month or whenever. You know what I'm saying, all right? So when we come late to church, that prevents us from living the values that God wants us to live with. Another one that I see, and that's this. It's more important to connect with people in the courtyard than it is to connect with God in worship. I know that hurts. Sorry. So let's just keep going, okay? But it's like this. We're taking a good thing of encountering people and talking with people, connecting. That's a good thing. It's a great thing. Or I should say this. It's a good thing. But it's a secondary thing, because the primary thing is encountering God. So what? When Jesus was asked, hey, what's the most important thing? He said this, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. It's See, we kind of get that mixed up. We'd rather hang out and talk in the courtyard and say, hey, you know what? It's important. I want to connect with these people. I haven't seen them all week, blah, 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 whatever. That's great. That's good. But what we're saying is that is more important than encountering God. That's not overvalued. That's not a standard. That's not a standard that God calls us to live by. It's not a vision, and it's not our part of our values. Here's another one. And that's this. We talk during the gatherings as if nobody can hear us except for the person that we're talking to. And the truth is, we sit here and we talk to each other. And I've been back there in the sound room, and I can hear, just so maybe you don't know this. If you're talking, if anybody's talking at this table up here, I can hear it back there during the music. So if you think that nobody can hear that, and Bob, as a sound person, he's back there, he can verify it, that it's easily heard. If we can hear that, then other people can hear that. And the problem with that is it becomes a distraction for other people. And basically what we're saying is, I have something to say and I have something to do that's much more important than what's going on in this room right now. Here's another thing that we do. Last one, okay? So I told you it'd be painful, but just for a little bit. Last thing that we do that we really need to stop, and that's this. We leave early. It's like Dave does the talk, you know, we have the announcements. The announcements don't really interest me that much, so you know what, it's time to go. We do the gatherings for an hour so that we can be sensitive to you guys and what's going on in your lives, but seriously, people can't even stay for the full hour because as soon as the talk is done and I go back there, the announcements go on, everybody feels like the talk is over or they feel like the gathering's over, people start getting up, Nick comes up, he starts playing, and people are doing their own thing. They start talking and greeting, and I mean, and the service is not over. If I could just encourage you and tell you this, when it's time to go, Nick will say, have a great week, you guys are dismissed. Those are the key words you're listening for, okay? Now, if you didn't know that, I don't know. I'm trying to help you. But here's the problem. Our vision to creatively love and lead people. And I want to remind you that you and I were leading people by our example. So when we come in late, when we talk during the gathering, we're being an example for other people around us. We're providing an example for everyone around us and even guests that, hey, this is how we act and it's okay. Come in whenever you want to come in because it's really not that important. And you know what? If you don't like what's going on, you can talk to somebody during it because we've missed it. So here's two things we can work on. First of all, don't be a distraction for others. Leave your distractions at home, please. Your worries, attitudes, agendas, your plans, your priorities, whatever it is that you think is important. Come here ready to love God, love people. The scripture, Paul talks about it. He says, hey, whatever you do, whatever is a distraction, leave it at home, okay? We don't want to remove every distraction that we can that prevents us from connecting with God. So when we're a distraction for others, here's the truth. When we're a distraction for others, it's usually because we are already distracted by what we do. We don't understand why we do what we do, and so we're distracted. When we come in with our own agenda, our own plan, and it becomes a distraction to other people, but really, internally, we're the ones that are distracted. Just understand that people will imitate you. People will encounter and worship God by the example that you give. Please understand that. Please understand that people will come in here, guests will come in here, and they will watch, how do I encounter God? Because they want, people want to encounter God. You understand that. And they come in and they don't know how. And what do? We watch how other people are doing it. But we're not giving the example of how to connect with God. We're giving an example of how to connect with each other, of how to live distracted life. This is a sobering statement, but when we're a distraction, we're taking the attention from God that is His. When we are a distraction to other people, what we are doing and what we're saying with our actions is, hey, I'm going to take the attention that's supposed to be given to God and I'm going to direct it to me. We're here to give all of our attention to God because we value our encounters with God. Here's another thing we can work on. Let your actions be an example for others because the truth is your actions are an example for others. Scripture tells us over and over and over just how important our examples are. 1 Timothy says, be an example to all the believers in what you say and the way that you live in your love and your faith and in your purity. I like how the Message says it. Teach believers with your life by word, by demeanor, by love, and by faith, and by integrity. So here's something that we got to understand. Our example says to other people, act as I do. Your example, however it is, for your kids, for your friends, for guests, for people that are sitting around here, what you're saying is, act as I do. You might even be saying with your example, if you want to know how to make God a priority, watch what I do. Or you might be saying, if you want to see how to not make God a priority, watch what I do. Your example is telling other people what is important to you. You understand that. So if I can just be practical and I can say it this way, if somebody is talking to you, at some point you're going to have to say, excuse me, I don't want to be a distraction to anybody else. Can we have this conversation afterward? That's all you have to say. If it's an emergency, then go outside. You can talk to them there. I don't want to take the attention away from God. I know you don't either. But that's what our example does when we become a distraction to other people. So we need to understand why we do what we do. And when we understand that, here's what changes. We show up ready to love people. We look for people that need to be loved first rather than our friends. Because we all have friends that are here and we all look to connect. We look for people that need to be loved first and we look for our friends second. Because the agenda that we show up with is love. That's what Paul said. Let love be your greatest, your highest goal. Your greatest aim, at other translations say. So getting to church, I know, can be a stressful time. It can be a stressful experience. You can lose your salvation probably on the way to church and try to find it after when you get here. But if I can just give you something practical, maybe, that might help remove the stress, because I understand, I do. Want to get everything ready Saturday night. Have your clothes laid out Saturday night. Get everything set aside Saturday night so you're not frantically running on Sunday morning. Decide what you're going to wear Saturday night. Prepare Saturday for Sunday. Might something else that you could do is plan to be here at least a half hour early. You might not make it, but you might make it 20 minutes early. But listen, when you make it a half hour early, you show up not stressed. You show up more at peace. Ready to do and ready to be engaged as you should be engaged. Ready to be focused on what we should be focused on and not distracted by the stress in our life. Also, when we understand why we do what we do, we show up with a heart that is engaged. Ready to experience God for ourselves. And worship is what connects us to God. It provides us that encounter that we value so much. So make sure that when you show up, your heart is engaged. Your heart is in it. You're in it to win it. You're not just kind of, oh, you know what, I'm here. We'll see what happens. No. Our hearts have to be in it because our actions are going to follow our hearts. Our value has to be in it because that's what's going to determine our action. And here's what God, he makes this observation in Isaiah. He says these people, they make a big show of saying the right thing, but their hearts aren't in it because they act like they're worshiping me, but they don't mean it. We show up on time because it's important. It's why we're here today. We're here to encounter God. He's our number one priority. And we don't want anything else to remove us from that focus. Last one is when we understand why we do what we do, we show up anticipating an encounter with God. Not just our heart is engaged, but we anticipate an encounter with God. We live expectantly. We don't just show up and go, hey, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen today, but hey, you know, see, I sure hope so-and-so's here because I haven't seen them in a long time. No, we're showing up knowing that God's going to show up. We're anticipating it. We show up knowing that we're going to have an encounter with God. So we make up our mind not to let anything distract us today from encountering God. And that means we're going to pour our heart into what we're doing. We're not just going to stand and kind of worry about what people are thinking, because remember, when the lights are down, the focus is up. And we're going to take that opportunity because it's our first priority, and the music connects us to God, and this is a conversation that we have with God. Even if you don't feel like singing or you don't know the words, it's about talking to God and connecting with Him. I want to tell Him how much I love Him. That's what worship gives me an opportunity to do. It doesn't put me in a place where I'm receiving as much as it does. It puts me in a place where I'm giving worth to God. I'm telling Him how important He is. Psalms 105 says this, "Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord and for His strength. Continually seek Him." In other words, don't just stand here. Don't just sit. Don't sit and go, "Okay, God, what are you going to do?" If you're going to connect with God, if you're going to have an encounter with God, then what's going to happen is you are going to have to put your heart into it. Your actions are going to have to show that you're expectant. Right now, Nick's going to lead us in a couple of worship songs. Let it be an opportunity to engage with God. Let it be an opportunity to encounter God. That's why we're here today. They're going to turn the lights down. I want you to say it with me. When the lights are down, our focus is where? There you go. Let's worship God. I want you to just continue to be in the moment. Because listen, when we know why we do what we do, we show up with our heart engaged. And not only that, we anticipate. And this time that we have of encountering God actually happens. Because we're not distracted ourselves, nor are we distracting other people. In fact, this time becomes much more powerful. We experience God at a different level and a different place in our lives because we're not distracted or we're not distracting others. Then the primary thing actually becomes the primary thing. I want to pray for us today. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for all of us. Again, this is not about scolding anybody. This is about being on the same page. It's about doing what God's called us to be. It's about sharing the value system and understanding why we do what we do so that we don't do different things. We care about people. Lost people are a passion. Encountering God changes lives. It's why we do what we do. When the lights are down, our focus is up. Father, you see our hearts, see our lives. Thank you for the small time today of adjustments that we can make in our lives that keep us being the church that you called us to be. That allow us to live the standard that you've given us to live, that allow us to live the vision, and it allows us to live by the values that you've given us to live. Father, I pray today, and I ask, that this would not be a one-time thing, but that we would show up with our hearts engaged. We would show up anticipating an encounter with you. We would show up with love being our greatest agenda, looking for an opportunity to love others. Thank you for each person that's here in this room. Thank you for their life. Thank you for what you are doing in our lives. Father, continue to shape us and continue to make us into the church and the people that you want us to be. Father, may we live lives free from distractions. May we live life with our focus up. In Jesus' name, amen.